Sleepwalking is a sleep disorder that causes people to get up and walk during their sleep. And episodes of sleepwalking typically occur when a person is in the deep stages of sleep. The sleepwalker is unable to respond during the event and does not remember sleepwalking. In some cases, sleepwalking is associated with incoherent talking. Sleepwalking occurs most commonly in childhood, but can last into adulthood as well. So one of the things we're going to do tonight during Open Lines, we're going to open up a special sleepwalkers hotline. Have you done this? Where have you woken up? And what have you seen? That number is 1-818-817-0021. The sleepwalker line, 1-818-817-0021. Okay, welcome back. Open Lines now right here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie, and let's go right to the phones. Well, let's pick it up with Keith. He's in Newside, Mississippi. And Keith, you are a sleepwalker. Tell us your story, Keith.
Yes. One time I was, my mom watched me while I sleepwalk because she was told, you know, not to wake up someone who was sleepwalking.
Yeah.
And she said that I actually went into the kitchen and I just got out peanut butter and crackers and made peanut butter and crackers. And I went and slipped them back in my room. And then I just went and laid back down in the bed. I mean, it was nothing, you know, unusual. It was just something I did while I was sleepwalking.
Now, did you eat them or you just made them?
No, I just made them and sit them down on the couch in my room and laid back down in the bed. I mean, it was just, she said that it was crazy because she heard me get up and open the door to my room and she watched me and said that it was just odd because I was just walking and I don't remember doing any of it at all. It was just really, really odd.
Isn't it bizarre that could happen to you and you have no recollection?
Right, and I've seen like TV shows on where I think I saw an Oprah one time where these people, they got up and they ate like cigarette butts and things like that, just all bizarre kind of things.
That is crazy. Good story. Thanks, Keith. That's one of the things we're doing tonight during Open Lines, a sleepwalker line, which of course is 818-817-0021. I was talking to a friend of mine today, works at a restaurant here in the St. Louis area, and he and his wife are having a baby the end of October. And I said, I wonder what it's like, this baby that's still in the mother's womb, what they are thinking, if anything. And we were kicking that around. I don't know if any of you have an answer to this, but this is my theory. First of all, the little baby is in the womb. It's probably not thinking of anything because I equate it with a brand new computer without any operating drive or software. It's just not programmed yet. So it's there. It can function, but it doesn't do anything. It doesn't spit out the information. It doesn't grasp information. And until the little baby gets out into the world and begins to recognize and hear and see, it doesn't get programmed. But can you imagine that? Right now, little baby is going to be born in a month. What is it thinking? I mean, is it thinking, hey, I can't wait to get out of here? What's it thinking? I don't think anything. I think it's just all blank, but who knows? Let's go to Mary, Birmingham, Alabama, first-time caller. Welcome to the program. Hi, Mary.
Hey, George. Can I say first that I'm very impressed the way that you handle your listeners.
Well, thank you.
I have a bizarre story for you.
All right, I'm ready. Go for it.
I was in a wreck a few years ago, and I was hit behind and knocked into the car in front of me.
Ooh.
Well, I wasn't hurt, but my husband took my car to get it fixed. And the trunk was beat up pretty bad, and they asked my husband for the keys so they could see if they could get the trunk open. My husband said, be careful, there's a dead man in the trunk. Well, everybody backed up away from the car. Well, what it was, we had just moved. And I had my brother's urn and his ashes in the trunk of my car.
Ah, okay.
And I just never took it out. I think that's what saved my life, if you really want to know the true story.
You know what? You may be right. And it sounds like your husband has a sense of humor.
He does. He does. And I thought it was very funny.
Gosh, Mary, you're lucky you didn't get whiplash on a hip.
Well, I was just fixing to unbuckle my belt. Whenever I looked up, and this truck hit me from behind.
It is one of the weirdest feelings to be in a car or truck and know you're going to get hit from behind and there's nothing you can do about it.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right. Thanks for the story, Mary.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's happened. I've been rear-ended that way so many times, and a couple times in Los Angeles. And, you know, you're stuck. There's a car in front of you, and you see it coming. There's nothing you can do. You just brace yourself and hope for the best. Let's go next to Stephen in Oregon. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Stephen, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, and nice to meet you, Mr. Norrie.
Thank you.
Hey, the reason why I'm calling, I'm a longtime listener, and I've had numerous reasons to call and share some experiences with you. But this one has even got my heart racing.
I love it.
You had a caller one night calling up, telling about an experience that he had, I believe, as a child on a UFO. And the voice rung a bell, and I'm that other guy because we can identify each other, and we had a certain little game that happened up there.
You're the other person who was in the UFO?
Yes. Yes.
You got to be kidding me.
No, I'm serious. I have all sorts of other stories and phenomena that's happened in my life, but this one is I've been trying for a couple of months.
And you could tell that she was the other person by her voice and the story
she
was telling.
I remember the voice triggered me, you know, and I saw the face in my mind, but really being so young and little, the features are not so definable, but the experience of the voice when I heard it and also what we did while we were on that ship and the little game we played at the window, it just is too, I mean, it's so predominant in my mind. It's been hard.
What kind of game did you play?
We played a little finger fight at the window. You know, I mean, you know, like dueling swords.
Like little swords with your fingers. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we were being told where we were going to go. It was sort of like almost we had a choice of where we were going. And I remember as I was to her right, she was to my left, the other individual, I would say. Because at that time, I really didn't discern male or female. You know, it wasn't really on my mind. You know, and but we did a little finger fight at the window and giggles and stuff. And we even with the other two entities, okay, that were there, they would like, you know, while we were talking with them, they would point their finger back. No, you're going here. And I would point my finger. No, I'm going here.
Where did they
that little finger fight?
Where did they take you, Stephen? All around the universe?
No. I really only have, and I've searched my memory and done meditation, and I would like to do hypnotherapy or something like that because I've sort of like fast forward or search the memory, and I've seen a little more of what the ship was like and the entities that were there. And so I've only gone a little bit before and a little after that experience. That's all the memory that I have.
All right. Dr. Bruce that. Goldberg might be very helpful to you. Just search him on our website, and you'll be able to get a hold of him. West of the Rockies in Phoenix, Arizona, Viola is there on Coast to Coast. Hi, Viola.
Well, hi, George. I've got a little bit of hoarse voice, but I've wanted to talk to you for so long. I've had so many strange experiences in my life. Dreams I saw as they actually happened later. But the story I want to tell you, this happened a year ago this last summer. I woke up on a Saturday morning calling for this little dog to come back. And I had dreamed that these young people walked up to me with this little dog on a leash and said, could you please take this little dog? And I said, well, I can't possibly. I have two dogs of my own. And five cats live inside, and I have ferals that I got fixed. I got six of them outside. Well, they said, we got to take it to the pound then. And I said, oh, no, please don't. I'll take the dog. I'll find a home for it. So in the dream, they handed me the leash, and the little dog pulled loose from me and started running. And I was frightened that he'd get out in traffic. And I woke up. The dog's name was Greg. And I woke myself up saying, come here, Greg. Come back, Greg. So I didn't think anything about it. I told my husband about the dream, and it was on a Saturday morning, and I told a couple of my friends how strange it was. That evening, I went to Walmart, and I didn't have any cash, so I wrote a check, and I wanted the check for $20 over. And the cashier kind of messed up, and she said, oh, I messed up. I can't give you the 20. I said, well, she said, I can call somebody over and we can fix it and you can get your 20. And I said, oh, forget it. Then I turned around and I said, no, go ahead and get somebody over here. I really need that $20. So I left the store with the $20 and I walked to the very end of the building. And the first thing I saw was that little dog, little shaggy, multicolored little dog laying. They were against the building, and the little dog had its head on the ground. So I walked over. There was a young couple standing there, and I said to them, does your dog bite? They said, no. So I petted the dog, and I stood up, and the young man, his face was very sunburnt, and the little girl was with him was sunburnt, too. She was an adult, but, you know, I'm 73 years old now. And I looked at that kid and I said, are you people living on the streets? He said, yes, we are. And I said, well, he said, I'm embarrassed about it. We lost our jobs and we lost our apartment.
Oh, my God.
And I said, well, you know what? I need to do something for you. I pulled that $20 out of my back pocket and I said, I want you to have this.
Good for you.
And he said, oh, I can't possibly take it. I said, look, you didn't ask for it. And I said, I do help people. I can tell when people are in need anyhow. And I said, I'm going to tell you a weird thing that happened to me when I woke up this morning. And I told him the story. But so anyhow, we talked a little bit and I went on my way. So a friend of mine came down from Ash Fork, Arizona, been a friend of mine for years, my husband, a younger guy, visiting. He was going to do something to help us with our TV.
Mm-hmm.
We went over to Walmart, and again, I paid for the cable and everything. I said, I want to write the check for 20 over. I had a $20 bill in my back pocket, but I wanted another 20.
You wanted a little more.
Again, they messed up. And I said, I really need this 20. But when we got out of our car to go in Walmart, I mean, the lightning was just crazy, and the rain started pouring in the
thunder.
So I told my young friend, he's very spiritual, and we talk a lot about things because I'm psychic. In a lot of ways, but I try not to progress with it because it's scary. Some scary things have come about that I've seen. So anyhow, he said, well, let's walk to the end of the building and see if these young people are there. Walk to the end of the building. There's the little dog laying there with her head on the ground, shaking. She's scared to death of the thunder and lightning.
Sure.
And I asked the couple, did you kids find any place to stay or anything? No. I said, you need to get out of this weather. That little dog is scared. She's shaking all over. So I said to them, do you know of any place you can stay for a reasonable price? They said they knew a place where they could go, but they didn't have the money. I said, well, how much do you need to do this? He said, $40. But ma'am, I can't take the money. I handed them the $40 out of my pocket.
Oh, man, Violet.
Well, so I'm standing there talking to them, and he kind of walked away from me, and I felt something touch my purse, and I turned around, and what the young man was doing, he was trying to put the $40 back in my purse.
Back in. Yeah.
And I said, no, this is for you. Go to that place. Well, I ran into them several times later, not looking for them. And I took dog food with me when I went. And I ran into them, and I gave them these cans of dog food and a little dish for the little dog and a couple dollars for them to go eat. The last time I saw them, they were going to head to California and work on a farm where they could live there for food and lodging. And I just got the awfulest feeling. And I said, you must be careful because there are cults that thrive on people that are down on their luck.
Absolutely.
The little girl told me she's
homeless,
22 years old. She's from Romania. And she said, yes, I know. She said she mentioned the Jim Jones story in Guyana. I said, yep. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And I never saw them again. But there was a young lady let him sleep on her apartment floor for a while. And I asked her, have you seen them? She said, no, but I have the little dog.
Wow.
But it was just, you know, every time I ran into them, and they were not druggies, I know they weren't.
You could tell sometimes.
They didn't drink. They were hungry. They went into the Walmart, the McDonald's. They got something to eat that first night. They asked me,
Viola, let me ask you something. Yes. I am convinced that those who give from the heart, not because you want anything back, but those who give from the heart like you do, whatever happens in your life, it comes back in a positive way times 10 if that's the way you live. Am I right about that with you?
Well, I've had a really kind of bad life. I had parents that were drunks and gamblers. My mother was wild. They dumped us off on my grandparents. Thank God. I lived with them from the time I was 2 until I was 13. And they gave me the values. My grandmother was extremely psychic, and she had healing powers. This woman raised me with values and ethics. And I'm not the best person in the world. I have a short fuse sometimes when I see injustices being done. But all my life, I've tried to live the way my grandmother taught me. So I was blessed. Had I been raised with those parents, I might not be who I am today.
Well, good for you. Well, you keep doing what you're doing.
And
we need about 10 million people.
One more thing.
I got a minute for you.
I had cancer 2.5 years ago. I wrote a check at the grocery store. I came home. Nobody gave me change. I usually empty my pockets and you know, check my pockets at the end of the day. And in my little watch pocket, and I'm a little skinny 73-year-old, and I weigh 100 pounds. My jeans are tight. I always wear blue jeans. In that pocket was a coin. I pulled it out, that little watch pocket, and I looked at it. On the front of that coin was an angel, beautiful angel. On the back was an angel. At first, I thought it was a strange-colored quarter, and I got this warm feeling from this, looking at this coin, and I thought, oh my God, this is a message for me, a message, because nobody gave me change. I had no change. To make a long story short, 2 days later, I had the colonoscopy. The doctor said, I need to tell you, Viola, you have cancer. And I said, oh, really? I said, well, where is it? And he told me it was in the right side of the intestines. And I said, well, thank God for that. He said, what? I said, because it's not in my pancreas, my esophagus, or my, you know, liver. He said, well, I've never heard anyone.
And did you, I got to run, Viola. Did you beat it?
Yes, I did, honey. I'm doing fine. And God bless you. You do so much for all of us. And thank you so much for taking my call.
Absolutely. We'll be back in a moment with more Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. Well, isn't it about time for our traditional shout-out and thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM all around the world? Well, those of you listening to your favorite radio stations across North America, 540 strong, thank you so much. Streamlink Coast Insiders, thank you for everything you do. Android and BlackBerry apps very soon now, folks. You've got your Apple and you got your iPhone apps, but the BlackBerry and the Androids very soon for those of you. XM Satellite Channel 165 in the various chat rooms and groups all around the planet, including our friends at the NighthawkZone.com. Hello to you. Imaginative Worlds, Into Infinity, National Radio Club, Sorcery, IRC, the MySpace groups, Yahoo Chat, the Twitter groups, the Facebook groups, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, Above Top Secret, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, who did a great job for us when we were on the Haunted Queen Mary, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis enjoying marvelous weather. Thanks to all of you for supporting Coast to Coast AM. And the Sleepwalker Hotline is 818-817-0021. Let's go to that right now. It's Chuck in Levittown, Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Chuck. You're on.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Okay.
Good. Hey, true story, Sleepwalker story. The last time I slept, well, I was 13. I'm 53 now. All right, so I would dream when I would be sleepwalking. And this one night, I had a dream that my family was over the house, and we were having a picnic, and we were out in the backyard, which we had a couple acres in the backyard. It was pretty big. Had a stone driveway, and we were out back grilling, and my father sent me in to get some ketchup. So I walked in the back door in my dream, and I got the ketchup out. And I set it on the server. I said to myself in my dream, well, I don't want to give it to him. I'm tired. I'm going to sleep. So I went back, and I laid down, and I got up, and I walked out the front door, and I woke up in the driveway because the stones, you know, woke me up. And I had all these mosquito bites all over my leg.
Oh, my gosh. They had a field day with you.
Exactly. And I was dreaming I was out back in the woods and out by the barn. And I was 13, so I woke up. And I went, oh, my God, I was kind of scared, you know. And I locked myself out of the house. And I didn't realize I left the back door open. But I crawled in the bathroom window. And I fell into the bathtub and landed on my head. Oh. I swear to God, it was the last time I slept walk in my life. I just thought that was a funny story.
Unbelievable. Great story. Thanks, Chuck.
Okay, bye.
Let's go to Paula in Portland, Oregon. Go ahead, Paula. You're up. First-time caller. Hi.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good, Paula.
You probably hear that a lot. Okay, I'm really nervous, so I've just been typing this out so I can actually submit the photograph. But so I'm going to read it.
Okay.
Back in June, actually, that's not what I have written here. Okay. On a trip to Southern Oregon in June of this year, my sister and I visited the cemetery in Jacksonville, an old pioneer gold rush town. Right. I was looking for the grave of a friend of mine who had died in 1998 or 99. My sister stayed in the car with it running. It was a nice hot summer day. Air conditioner going. She was playing poker on her Blackberry.
Having a grand old time, around. Right?
Yeah. What?
She was having a grand old time.
Oh, absolutely. I'm tramping around in the weeds looking for this grave because as far as I know, there's no marker. I'm actually trying to find out if there is one, but it's been a really long time, and I can't remember exactly where the grave is. So I'm out there, and we're going from this section to this section and this section. She's being very patient with me, and finally I gave up. Got in the car. We drove back to Medford. She's dropping me off at the motel because she's going to go have dinner with friends, and I remembered after I got out of the car I needed to say something to her. I walked around to her side of the car, and on the driver's side back door was a set of handprints in dust that had come with us from the cemetery.
Oh,
totally.
That's creepy, Paula.
And I'm sending in the pictures, so
okay.
for y'all to post them. It was one of the, I pulled out my phone and I'm taking all these pictures and I showed it to all my friends and they say, well, you know, you really need to send those in somewhere. And I said, yeah, but who would you do that to? And then I thought, well, of course, coast to coast, but I used to listen a million years ago in another lifetime and I don't stay up this late anymore, so.
Got to do it on weekends, though. Thanks, Paula. Send it in to me.
I will. Thanks, George.
Okay, that's a cool story. Next up, let's go to Jamie in Casper, Wyoming. Jamie, you're up. Hi.
Hi, can you hear me all right?
I sure can. Go ahead.
All right. I'm the lady that called in, like, back in February talking about Shadow Cat, spirit that looks like a black house cat, about 30
yes.
pounds.
A big one, yeah.
Yeah, and I wanted to know, you know that I had talked to some of my friends on the spirit realm. Shepherd was the one that told me that Shadow Cat is a guardian, and she's there guarding the place that I was living in because I live there. So I thought that was
a very a very protective cat.
I guess so. A cat that big, I don't think anything would want to attack me.
No, not at all. That is a big cat. That's almost as big as some of the cats that you find in Africa. Those things are huge. Okay, thanks. Next up, Jerry in South Carolina. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Jerry, good morning.
Good morning. It's been only about 1 or 2 weeks, but do you remember telling us a little story about the fish that was caught here in South Carolina that had the human-like
teeth? Yes. Sure do. Yep, the guy reached down and it bit him, but it had human-looking teeth.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking that you were saying. Well, that really got my curiosity stirred, so I called Natural Resources, And it happened back in early September down at Lake Wylie. That's between Rock Hill and Charlotte. I live in the Greenville area. That's about a hundred mile. And I can't remember what they said the species was, but it's a known species, and it's related to the piranha. And they just presume somebody had took it out of an aquarium and put it in the lake.
That's very possible. Yeah, they were checking. When I had the story, they were checking the species, but they did say that it could be part of the piranha family.
Yeah. And one other thing right quick. I haven't heard you or Ian or George Knapp. I know George Knapp talks about it a good bit, the Skinwalker Ranch in Utah.
Yeah, that's his thing. He's the best in the country for that, Jerry. I'll talk to him about that. Maybe it's time for him to do an update on that. Thanks. Next up, let's go to Anchorage, Alaska. It's Melinda's turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Melinda.
Hey, George. How are you doing?
Okay. You okay?
I'm good. I'm just amazed at all these people that call you, and you have the best job in the world.
The greatest storytellers I've ever heard. Aren't they? They're something else.
Oh, it is. And when you hear them, when you're on the line, it just makes it so much real. And you can tell that they're telling you the honest to God truth from their heart, every single one of them. It's crazy. And I guess maybe I should, last time I talked to you, it was, and the only time I called on the first caller line, that it was Sarah Palin when she got picked to be.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
John McCain's running mate. That's right.
Exactly. So that turned out a little way different than we thought it would. But at any rate, I guess everybody's telling you about these experiences that happen to them in their life. And I believe everything has to have a purpose. If you have something that happens to you and it's just astounding and incredible and it can't really be real, then it has to have some deeper meaning, correct?
Yes.
Don't you think?
It should.
It should. Okay, exactly. So that's been going on for me for my whole life pretty much. But it happened back in the 60s. I'm going to be 50. So
I talked about
the Pleiadians last time.
Yeah.
So, but at any rate, I'll make a long story short. What happened was there was this radio announcer, and I do believe that he announced with Art Bell, and that was probably back in the 70s or 80s. But he was on the only radio station. Anyway, he was my next-door neighbor. So he came over, and he was talking to my mother. And actually, I'm probably in the same place that this happened because I inherited this house. And I was listening to this conversation that they were having.
Mm-hmm.
And it just blew me away because I was really little. I think it was, I don't even know how old, 5 to 8 maybe.
What were they talking about?
Pardon me?
What were they talking about?
They were talking about how big, what the universe is like, how big the universe is. And they were talking about there's more stars than there are grains of sand.
That's right.
On this planet. That's and right. It totally, like, I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, like all little kids do, that this is, it's all about you, right? And I realized that I mean nothing. How can I even have a life?
Hold on, Melinda. What do you mean you mean nothing? Of course you do.
Well, no. Well, you are
as important.
I do, and don't get me wrong, but I am so insignificant because when you're that little, you think that you're playing with dolls and you're throwing rocks and you're digging up dirt and you're playing in the garden and in my pony or whatever. You know what I mean? But then you realize that here's the Earth, and you think the Earth is huge, right? But the Earth is nothing compared to our galaxy. But in our galaxy, there's all these other galaxies that make up the universe, and it goes on forever. And it freaked me out.
Look, I was in New York a couple days ago. That's huge.
I mean,
it's all relative.
It depends on your perspective, right?
That's right.
You know, and it just like, oh my gosh, why am I here? There's no reason, because there's got to be a reason for me to be here.
Well, now that's the question we're all trying to answer. Why are we here? What's it all about? What does it mean? And, you know, it's
in the whole friggin' this coolest thing in the world. So my mom, she said, go get something out in the garage. And it was like February, or it was after Christmas. It was January, February. It was really cold. There was like 12 inches of snow. And our radar announcer friend, I'm not going to say who he is, and he is like, he's not the snowman, but he's pretty close, right? So he lived across the street. And so I walked down to go to the garage to get whatever my mom wanted me to get. And I slipped, and I fell flat on my back. And I looked up, and I saw Orion, and I saw the Pleiades, or maybe the Hades. I don't know.
It's Hades you don't want to see.
It was like, all of a sudden, it was out of my body. It was the greatest thing in the world, even though I thought I was going to die. And there were three questions. It was, where does it end, how does it work, and what's my part in it?
And tell me, you got the answers?
I was back in my body, and I was okay, and I get up, because I thought I died. But it all happened like in a microsecond, right?
Well, let me tell you, we're all looking for those answers, Melinda. And I'm not sure we'll ever get them, but it's the quest that's the most important thing. It really is. Let me take a few more callers, and then we're at the top of the hour, but we'll do another hour of open lines when we come right back. Scott is in Ohio. Go ahead, Scott. How are you?
Oh, good. I was calling you about your earlier guest, Mitch, I believe,
yes.
Talking about the magnetic fields.
Yes.
And I'm a disabled veteran, but I worked on alternative energy products with motors that used out-of-sync magnets to create electricity. And he was talking about how the belts around our solar system and around the planet are changing, and the magnetic field around the Earth kind of looks like a butterfly, the Earth being the body, and the fields are fairly uniform on either side.
Right.
But as these fields change, when the field nearest the sun or farthest away from the sun gets to 80% distortion, they theorize that the magnetic core of the Earth could switch.
And I think that's going to happen, don't you?
And I seriously think that all this, the mind calendar and all these solar events that they're seeing that they've never seen before might be leading up to something like that. And whether it's a complete pole shift or just a partial shift, we would see terrific tsunamis and waves and changes that they can't predict because they simply aren't in the geologic record.
No, Scott, you may be right on the money on that one.
But when we did the theoretical work with these motors, instead of two poles, they use three rare earth magnets and distort the fields. And then a small voltage kicks them over, and they tend to run and run and run and run and run. And with the Earth only having the two magnetic spheres, once we distort, something major is going to change, and it could be what we're seeing with all the earthquakes and global warming, and all of this could be tied into it.
There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. And scientists are beginning to say right now that they think this is breaking down, and it's going to affect us in a dramatic way. Hey, we've done some adjusting to our Skype line, so somebody who's on Skype, give us a call, if you would, at George97313. I want to check it out, George97313. Next up, we go to Rita in Los Angeles, California. I hear it was very hot out there when I was in New York.
Yes, we had record-breaking temperatures a few days ago, reached 113, I believe.
Yikes, that's hot.
Yeah, it was hotter than the valley, strange enough.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking my call. There's a couple real quick stories I want to tell you. One is a bizarre story and one is a paranormal, which, by the way, I've been wanting to tell you with all these wonderful ghost stories and like the coverage of the Queen Mary that you recently did.
Mm-hmm.
I think on those particular evenings, you should temporarily change your show to ghost.
Well, we do that only once a year. We're going to do it Sunday, the end of on Halloween Sunday.
Oh, you changed your show to Ghost to Ghost?
We changed it. It's Art's show and his tradition, and he's going to come back and do it, but it's on Sunday this year.
Oh, okay. All right, so my two stories. One is the bizarre story is I heard about this girl who started to get this lump on her face, and it was very distinct and round. It was like the shape of a golf ball. And it got bigger over a certain period of time. And, of course, she went to the doctor, and they got it biopsied or they cut into it. And it was the grossest thing. A whole bunch of baby spiders came pouring out.
Oh, come on.
I'm dead serious.
No.
Yeah. A spider laid eggs in her face.
Oh, no, that's not real. That can't be real. Rita. Oh.
I'm serious. Yeah, that's
I hate spiders. You know,
I know.
That.
Can you imagine lodged in your face? That just so gross. All right, and then my second story, this is a true story here in Los Angeles.
Well, I tell you what, let me put you on hold because we're at the top of the hour, and
okay.
I'll come back with that when we come right back in just a moment. Could you imagine that, a cheek full of spiders in there? Oh, my God. And they come running out. That's a nightmare. It really is. Oh. Hey, if you want to email me, it's george@coasttocoastam.com. Our website is coasttocoastam.com as well, and it's newly modified, so go ahead and look at it. Some things have changed. Even I have to search through some things, but you'll find it there. For example, my calendar schedule, you'll see at the top bar it says hosts. You click that, then you'll see the calendar schedule. The revolving carousel is there. We also put the Digicam picture up once in a while, and that's on the revolving carousel as well. We'll be back with more open lines on Coast to Coast AM.